The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
For this episode of the weekly podcast for UK radio people, we've been to the roof of Global Radio in Leicester Square to mingle with the guests at the digital radio reception. The star speaker was Ed Vasey, who at the time held two ministerial jobs, one at the DCMS and the other at the Department of Business Innovation and Skills. By the time you hear this, he may have neither of them, but he was in buoyant mood when he spoke to Roy Martin.
Well, I gave an update on how well we're doing on digital radio, and in particular, 85% of new cars now come fitted with digital radio standard.
And what about the rest of the industry? What about away from cars? What's happening there?
We've reached all our coverage targets, so we're matching FM in terms of local coverage, which is so crucial for local radio. We're matching FM in terms of national coverage at both BBC and commercial. And we've also launched a second national multiplex, which is launched in March. We're now up and running. We now have 30 digital commercial stations.
And this was also doubling up as a farewell speech, I hear you say.
Well, I'm not leaving yet, but obviously politics is very fluid at the moment. So in case things don't go my way under the new Prime Minister, I wanted to say thank you to a lot of colleagues that I've worked with over the last 6 years to really make digital radio a brilliant reality in the UK.
When you started, we were in a totally different place, of course, and everything you've done over the years, even though you haven't set a date for switchover, everybody in the room is fully appreciative of what you've done.
Well, that's very kind. I think what we have achieved, certainly, is the feeling that digital radio is here to stay. Digital radio is now the platform of choice for commercial radio operators and the BBC, and it will only continue to grow. And I think the other thing that came out of today's event was hearing about what is happening across Europe. There's a lot of countries that weren't particularly interested in digital radio a few years ago. It's now become something they're all getting into.
Ben Cooper's here. We're talking about digital radio, but Ben leading Radio 1 into a after-digital radio era with social and non-transmitter mindset. It's all about content. Tell us where Radio 1's going, Ben.
I think digital radio is an important part of where we're going in the future, but it's only part of what we do, because I think young audiences are demanding their content on the platforms that they enjoy being on. So for me, you know, I've said it at conferences, I've said it in articles, I'll say it again here, you know, it's about that strategy of listen, watch and share. Can we make content that young, new, diverse audiences want to consume by listening to it, whether that be on their phone or on a traditional radio set, or watch it or share it? That's what we've got to do to stay, make our radio brands today, whether they're BBC radio brands or commercial radio brands, relevant to young audiences and make the radio industry relevant to the next generation.
Do you think the rest of the radio industry will have to catch up when your current teenage listeners are in their 30s and 40s? Will everybody have to be doing what you're doing now?
I believe that the rest of the industry will have to do what is happening at the moment on the 8th floor of New Broadcasting House. I believe what happens with Radio 1 today happens for the BBC tomorrow and the industry tomorrow. We're at the absolute face of experiencing what is happening with young audiences. And if we don't get it right, if we don't adapt, we will die.
And that's because, as a stat you said recently, more and more teenagers don't have a radio set in their bedrooms.
Young teenagers love their mobile phone, and I think we've got to be very, very careful. The mobile phone crept up on us in 2006 without us really taking on the sort of the importance of that change in the marketplace. The next big change, the next big battlefield is the car. When cars become iPads on wheels, it's going to be that thing of how do you argue with your children in the car to make sure that you can listen still to the radio. That's the key, next key thing.
My name is Matt Deegan. I run Fun Kids and also look after some parts of Muxco.
Matt, you are Mr. Digital Radio. Tell us what about today. What's happened?
Today's a nice excuse to have a drink with lots of people across the sector, from community stations to the BBC and commercial radio, who helped digital radio be a success. You know, we're at the point where So like 67% of all UK listeners listen to some form of digital radio, 44% of all hours are digital, which is a phenomenal amount. And it's pretty much the most digital country in the world. We're at a point where 85% of new cars have digital radio standard. And like, whether you're a big fan, if you're a radio fan, you should be a digital fan, because unlike pretty much every other country, our total listening is increasing. And that's because we provide lots of choice, be it on the internet or on DAB or on digital television. And that's good if you're a radio practitioner, and it's particularly good if you're a listener.
Ed Vasey mentioned 80 new local digital community stations recently over the last 12 months. That must be great news for you and Muxco.
Yeah, so a lot of those are mini Muxes. I know that we're on Muxco. We're adding a lot of new small operators. Quite often people who maybe run a community station and are creating digital spin-offs, or people who are starting new stations. So the guys from Great Yorkshire Radio are here, and just got on our North Yorkshire multiplex. We're just about to add a couple of other radio stations around the network. And it's because they is an audience. You know, it's a business thing. Is there an audience? Can they reach listeners and sell advertising? And they can. So that's great news for us. And yeah, it's good. It's, you know, I'm a radio fan. I like listening to radio stations. It's nice there are more of them. And for the mini muxes, I think particularly, sometimes that's internet-only stations who get a bit of broadcast and help grow their awareness. And it's all good news. It's all good news.
Yeah, Scott Taunton, the Chief Operating Officer of the Wireless Group.
We're talking about digital radio. You're obviously heavily invested in digital radio. What happened today that's good news for you?
Oh, look, I think the recognition of the developments that have taken place up until now is the real key message. So it's been a long period of making sure we've got new digital services, that listeners, you know, ability to pick up those services has been increasing. The rollout in cars, the transmitters. For us personally, you know, it's having D2, having Virgin, TalkSport 2, Talk Radio as part of the mix as a national set of services. That's been, you know, really exciting.
And how are the new stations going?
Well, we won't see official audience figures until, I think it's the 4th of August that we get the radar numbers. But anecdotally, things are delivering well. We can obviously monitor some of the streaming. We can monitor the social media interaction. And we're really pleased, actually, with where things are at this stage. And they just sit so well alongside TalkSport, that, you know, from a commercial perspective, we're really pleased with where we've got to.
So it's been a big year for UTV, Wireless Group, and now News Corp. Tell us what's going to happen.
Well, there's a long period of regulatory consents and shareholder consents that need to take place. You know, News Corp announced a recommended offer, recommended by the Wireless Group board, for an acquisition of all of the shares. But we need to go through both a UK and an Irish regulatory clearance, and we think that could take us into October or November before we see sight of sort of the end, you know. And I think that's a really exciting thing for the industry as a whole. You know, I think it's a great thing for News Corp, great thing for Wireless Group shareholders, and I think for the wider sets of employees in being able to work together. But the radio industry itself, in seeing a business of that scale wanting to invest in our industry, is hugely positive.
It is. It's been widely said that News Corp, big international company, not necessarily interested in local radio, but bought the company for TalkSport and the licenses. Where do you see that going with local radio?
Well, that's not what I've read in the statements, and the dialogue that I've had, the limited dialogue I've had with News, suggests that they really do admire the local radio stations. Clearly, their print titles sell right across the country, and they run some regional copies of those. And in Ireland, they've got the leading tabloid paper in the Irish Sun as well. So, you know, there's a real opportunity for synergy through talent, you know, as well as broader content across those. So I think genuinely they're interested in the broader assets of the Wireless Group.
And do you think, obviously early days, but do you think they will grow in radio, or is this it?
That's a question for Wireless, you know, for News Corp, really. But, you know, my sense of it from the outside, to some extent looking in, would be that, you know, an organisation of the size and scale of News Corp, you know, would be unlikely to simply make an acquisition and let that run organically on its own. That their view would be to invest, and whether that's invest in the existing assets and businesses or look, you know, outside of that, that will be something that, you know, ultimately they'll need to decide on.
Hi, Sergit Gurman from Punjab Radio.
And what has today brought for you here on the Global Radio rooftop?
It brings more information. You get to meet the people from other countries who share the same platform as we do. So really just being knowledgeable to be here.
And how is Punjab doing?
Punjab is doing great, 16 years now. We've been on DAB radio for the last 13 years, and we launched on the new national multiplex STL earlier this year.
And how's the reception going? Because obviously there's less coverage on STL than there was on Digital One. Has that affected you at all?
I've done my own research. The motorway network is very good. Yeah, there are certain towns where there are more sheep than people. There's no signal there, but where there are more people than sheep, the signal is pretty good.
And where do you see digital radio going over the next 2 or 3 years?
I think we're going to head for a digital switchover soon, because I think we're about 42% listenership on digital now. Once you get to 50%, we should be looking at in the next couple of years.
So I'm James Royston. I'm the marketing director for a company called VQ.
So VQ is sponsoring today. You're doing a lot with digital radio. You must have confidence in its future.
Yeah, absolutely. As a digital radio manufacturer, we'd be wasting our time if there wasn't a future in digital radio. And obviously, one of the announcements I've made today was about an investment in our own manufacturing facility. So we've made a six-figure investment in a manufacturing facility that guarantees our supply chain and really invests in the future of digital radio with us and the rest of the industry.
So for me, it's always been Pure and Roberts. You seem to have just come out of nowhere. Are you a new company?
Well, there's always room for the old guard, but we've been actually around for about 5 years now. We've been making slow and steady progress, and it's really over the last 18 months to 2 years, we've been making some really fantastic progress, both in the UK and internationally.
And how many products do you have? Because I see the one you gave away today. That was kind of an old traditional radio. Are they all like that, or do we see anything futuristic?
So we're a designer brand. We've got six models in our range, although five of them come in 11 different colours, so we've got plenty of product to go around. Ultimately, the future of the brand is to change our design style, to not necessarily be vintage, to be more modern, to look into organics and to look into different materials and different fabrics and things like that. We are a design house, and as I said, investing in our manufacturing facility gives us that flexibility to look at really interesting concepts and really invigorate the device market.
And are your devices any different from, say, Pure or...?
They've got a different brand name for a start. One of the key things we do is it's the design style, it's the choice of colours. We also work with a licensor, which is Emma Bridgewater, which is a homewares brand and pottery brand, iconic around the UK, a massive seller in John Lewis. So the Emma Bridgewater license is exclusive to us. The key thing is we own our products from the first sketch through to a consumer's home. We do different things in that way.
So Ford Enels is here. Has it been a success?
Yeah, I think it's been a great day. I mean, I think there was so much energy and excitement in the group today. I mean, we were celebrating the fact that in the last year there's been an unparalleled burst of creativity in the radio industry. We've seen over 100 stations being launched, both national stations and local stations. And so many radio groups are doing really well, well in terms of their revenue and advertising, but really well in terms of the content and the audiences. And you just get that sense of optimism. Despite everything that's going on in the outside world at the moment, radio feels very strong and very solid.
Do you think people are more tuned into digital radio now than they were a few years ago? Some of the radio industry have been a bit hesitant. Do you think that's changing now?
Yeah, I think we see a real shift in terms of how the consumers and the listeners view digital radio. We see digital listening growing all the time. We see car manufacturers putting digital radio in new cars. 85% of new cars, it was announced today by the Minister Ed Vasey, now have digital radio. And I think the radio industry has now beginning to embrace it, both at the national level, but also the local level. I mean, we're hearing about 90 local stations on small-scale DAB in 10 trial areas with waiting lists to launch new stations, and I think that's really exciting.
Do you think the future is local multiplexes, or because we've launched a lot of new national stations, are we looking at local ones now then?
I think local digital radio is going to grow. We now have two national DAB multiplexes, and they're both full, and those stations are doing very well. We look forward to seeing the listening data for the next Radars in a few weeks. But I think local now wants to be part of the digital future and wants to find a way to get digital distribution. So one of the ways is these small-scale, what's called mini-muxes, that are happening in 10 areas. We'll wait for DCMS to tell us how that can expand, how it can be licensed, and how more and more stations can join in. So, yeah, I'm expecting, you know, digital radio to have a digital future, both nationally and locally.
Still no switchover, though?
Well, I think what we were very clear, we heard from DCMS and the Minister today, they're both very, very supportive of digital radio. There's a decision to be made. We're going to hit the criteria that were set in terms of coverage and listening in the next year. We'd anticipate a government decision. We'd expect certainly a roadmap to a transition, but I think we'll wait a little bit for a date.
And we'll hope Ed is the one to deliver that for us, because he did joke that this was his farewell speech today.
I think Ed Vasey has been a massive supporter, not just of digital radio, but of the sector. He's a real fan. He listens. He loves it. He comes to all our events. He's a big ambassador. We hope it wasn't farewell, because I think the sector loves Ed and wants to see him in place.
Ford, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for coming.
Roy Martin, Radio Today's editor at the digital radio reception on Global Radio's roof. And if by the time you hear this, Ed Vasey has gone, we all wish him well. Radio Moments with David still to come, featuring, well, me, which is a nice compliment. But first, here's the latest Radio Today news with Stu Clarkson.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. Bosses at Global have pulled the group's annual staff party and awards following the results of the EU referendum. They emailed staff to say they don't want to spend money on it in case revenues are down as a result of Britain voting to leave the EU. The firm says the Globals will return, just not this financial year. Stan Collymore has left TalkSport. The footballer turned pundit and presenter tweeted that the station has decided to withdraw his contract offer. TalkSport has thanked Stan for being an integral part of the team over the last 8 years. Ofcom's opened applications for community radio licences in London. Those wanting to apply have until the 25th of October. The regulator says it'll consider stations on both FM and AM within the M25 area. Tributes have been paid to BBC Radio Merseyside's longest-serving presenter, Stan Ambrose, who's died aged 86 this week. He's been hosting the weekly folk scene show for 49 years. And well done to Simon Monk and Matt Smith, who've just landed themselves programming jobs at Signal 1 and 2 in Stoke. Simon is the new senior content controller, while Matt becomes deputy content controller. The roles have been filled after a recent recruitment campaign with RadioTodayJobs.com. Well worth a look if you're looking for work. And those are this week's big stories from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phonebox from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
We start this week at 85, and radio plays its role in the biggest show on earth. It's Live Aid.
Just before, in a minute before the whole thing was due to start, I was up in the old Jimmy Hill commentary box with Richard Skinner, and over the headphones, Mike Appleton said, you're going to have to do the intro from the box, and I've got, you know, seconds to write something. So my mind went back to the old days of two-way family favourites, and it used to start, it's 12 o'clock in London, 1 o'clock in Cologne, Germany, and at home and away, it's time for two-way family favourites. So I grabbed this pad of paper and I wrote on it, it's 12 noon in London, 7 a.m. in Philadelphia, and around the world, it's time for Live Aid, blah 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 blah.
It's 12 noon in London, 7 a.m. in Philadelphia, and around the world, it's time for Live Aid. Wembley welcomes their Royal Highnesses, the Prince and Princess of Wales.
Trevor Dan and the story behind those famous words at the start of Live Aid this week, 31 years ago. This week last year, the BBC broke with tradition.
Where it begins.
Good afternoon, it's Friday the 10th of July 2015, it's 4 o'clock. This is BBC Radio 1, and welcome to the exciting new sound of the official chart with Greg James for the first time ever on a Friday. Welcome to a new era for the official chart and the entire music industry. Today we have six new entries, two big climbers, but the question is, will there be a brand new number one?
Greg James on Radio 1 on his first Friday afternoon chart this week last year. 36 years ago this week, commercial radio arrived in Peterborough.
It's the first one on Harrywood, the first one on Daybreak too, the Bellamy Brothers, and Let Your Love Flow. It's day one, of course, an exciting time. We've got Anglia Television in the studios with us this morning once again, and they're recording a film for this evening. You'll be able to see us as well as hear us today. As well.
Good morning, viewers.
Something horrific, yes. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning for the first time, Dave, yes.
Really call your own, I think we get it. Yes, thank you. The early days of Hereward Radio, this week in 1980. John Russell was an early programme director at Birmingham's BRMB, and this week in 1976 in Music Week magazine, he rejected commercial radio's discotheque approach with its robotic disc jockeys.
Radio stations are rather like restaurants. If you go to a restaurant and you have a bad time, bad meal or bad service, you never go back because there are plenty of other restaurants down the street. And I think radio stations in many ways are rather like that. There's plenty of other radio stations down the street, if you like, down the dial. And so you probably only have one chance to get it right.
John Russell, who was setting out his stall for commercial radio this week 40 years ago. 3 years ago this week saw the death of Douglas Stewart. He was the first presenter of The World Tonight on Radio 4. And later he had words of criticism for the sort of interviewers to follow.
And they make, I think, great mistake in asking three questions rolled into one. And that enables the man to pick whichever of the three questions he wants to answer. They don't think enough about getting the man to hang himself.
Wise words from Douglas Stewart, who kept everyone riveted with his approach. Well, nearly everyone.
I used to think, I'm talking to one person and one person only, not to listeners. And the one person I wanted to talk to was my wife. And whenever she heard my voice, she'd start and then she'd go to sleep. And she'd wake up again when I was saying goodbye.
Great stuff from Douglas Stewart. And that programme, The World Tonight, had been part of a new-look, more newsy Radio 4, which emerged after a BBC report called Broadcasting in the 70s, which was published this week in 1969. So, with Metro Radio launching this week 42 years ago...
I would like to say that we are going to make it our job to bring you the best possible radio.
The death of BBC's first ever commentator, Teddy Wakelam, 53 years ago.
The Turnbull's there. Oh, well done, sir.
Melody Radio, launching 26 years ago, now Magic London.
Don't know much, but enough to get by. Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt, we also heard Bread.
And the ITA becoming the IBA, radio's first regulator, 44 years ago.
Enquiries should be addressed to the regional officer... Independent Broadcasting Authority.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Well, the stats from the US podcast movement event suggest that you won't hear this bit at the end, but I'll do it anyway. Thanks to David Lloyd, Roy Martin, Stu Clarkson and researcher Hayley Hayes. This has been a TDC production. Thank you for listening. If you are.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.